Good evening. It's good to gather together to worship our Lord and Savior in this Lenten season. As you might notice, I have a blue shirt on tonight. 2 weeks ago, I had a pink shirt, so I thought I should be at least, you know, equal time. So I changed my clothes. But I felt good because Brett's got a blue official kind of a vicar shirt on, so this must be the color of the day. Our opening hymn is number 440, Jesus, I Will Ponder Now, and we'll consider his sacrifice for us.
Thank you.
Ask you to please stand if you are able. And we will begin on the order of Vespers, which was passed out to you as you came in. And even though it says P and C, let's all read each of these first lines together. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall sing your praise. Be quick, O God, to deliver me. Be quick to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated and ask if you can reach a Bible to open your Bibles to page 1016. 1016. It says Psalms in the order of worship, but this is Proverbs, which is right next to Psalms. So page 1016, Proverbs chapter 21. And we'll read verses 3 and 13. 1016. These are new Bibles and the pages kind of stick together, so I know it takes a little separating there. Okay. 1016, verse 3, and we'll read all together. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And verse 13, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. Then on page 1154 is our sermon text, and it is Isaiah chapter 58. And I will read if you would like to follow along. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will appear quickly. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And now we will have the choir sing for us. I want to thank the choir for a beautiful message and song. I know. What do we know? That he died there for me, for you, for all of us. What a tremendous, joyous truth that is. If you would turn in your Bibles to page 1877, our epistle lesson is found in Hebrews chapter 12. Page 1877. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. And we can read those two verses together if you would. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And then our gospel lesson for today, I ask you to please stand if you are able, is found on page 1505, Matthew chapter 5. Page 1505. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. So we'll have to turn the page. Beginning at verse 14, if everyone would read together, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. And I ask that you would pick up your hymnals again. And let us look at hymn number 949. 949. And if Carol would play through this one time so we can hear the music, and then let us sing these two verses as part of our sermon. This is a hymn of worship, a praise song, if you will, and we have it in our Lutheran service book. But God is concerned if we have it in our hearts. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for your gift of love to us in Jesus, your Son and our Savior. We thank and praise you, Lord, for the truth and the promise of your holy word. And we ask now for your Holy Spirit to open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to receive power to put into action all that you have for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship is the focus of this evening's reading from Isaiah 58. Isaiah was calling Israel back to genuine worship of the one true God. He condemned false worshipers in chapters 56 and 57, including many of the nation's leaders, who had earned the descriptions as blind watchmen and selfish shepherds. They had led the people to unfaithfulness by worshiping idols, including adopting the detestable pagan practices of sexual immorality and child sacrifice as part of worship. Their faith was misplaced, and God would expose and judge their rebelliousness. True worshipers, by contrast, are righteous and humble and walk closely with God. He alone is worthy of worship and a strong refuge for his people. He dwells with the contrite and the lowly in spirit, a fact that amounts to an invitation to the Israelites to humble themselves and repent of their sin. If they were not sure of how to begin turning from their idolatry, chapter 58 is a guide on how to repent. Facing up to the reality of sin is the first step. But the Israelites were acting as if everything was in good shape. They needed to realize that doing the forms of worship, while at the same time living unworshipfully, which is a new word that Pastor Tim Meyer, a Wisconsin Synod pastor, came up with, living unworshipfully was useless, and God sees through it all, to the heart, and that is the measure of true worship. In our usual practice, we as a congregation have one special day each week when we have the opportunity and the privilege to gather together to be able to hear God's word and to sing praises to our Heavenly Father. And during the season of Lent and during Advent, we add another day or two each week. So tonight we are reminded that not only are one or two days special, but every day is to be a special day. Every day is a day that the Lord has given us to live, and by His grace we receive it. Any day is a day that we can sing praises to God, our Lord and Savior. That is the point that Isaiah is making for us in chapter 58. Now, we don't want to think that just one day is our only day of worship. The Lord wants us to realize that worship is more than a day. It is a way of life. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." God gives the reason why we should be thankful. He gives us the reason why we worship Him with reverence and awe, because the Lord has provided for each one of us, just as He provides for every believer, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. God has provided us eternity in heaven. But the people during the time of Isaiah had forgotten that. As we look at the first verse of Isaiah 58, we find the subject of fasting and how the people had abused it. You see, fasting was a ritual observance where people went without food as a sign that they were humble before God. They went without food so that they might focus their attention on the worship that was to take place. But what had happened is that it had just become a ritual, something for them to do. It did little to change their hearts. And yet, because they were seeking to do the right kind of fasting, they felt that God was wrong and did not hear their prayers, never realizing that their empty religious rituals did not have any effect on their moral behavior. Their fasting was not the result of true conviction, but mere compliance with the law and tradition. In reality, their thoughts were far removed from God and absorbed in their own business and pleasure. Even on their fast day, their behavior was outwardly pious, but in reality, their conduct was ungodly and cruel. The moral and social scene described by Isaiah is extremely dark. And he makes the point that physical fasting without repentance and mercy will not be heard by God. God asks in verse 5, "Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself?" The people of the Old Testament were given the commandment, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." So they were anxious to keep that one day holy. Our text asks, is this only one day to be kept holy? Is this how you prepare yourself by fasting and getting ready for one day? Well, there were more problems. Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed or lying on sackcloth and ashes? Well, as we look at these words, we should know that the people were doing these things in order to be noticed by others. They were doing all these things to worship God only in an outward way. They had forgotten the importance of the heart in worship. Isaiah writes, "Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord?" They were so stuck on that one day, the Sabbath day, that they had forgotten the importance of God's unshakable kingdom. So if they did not know it, God describes for them what fasting ought to be in verse 6. "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke?" He says that was what fasting was to symbolize, not being bound by chains, not being under the yoke and the burden of the law, but set free. They were to remind themselves, just as the Lord God had delivered them from the bondage of Egypt and brought them to the promised land, so he had delivered them from sin and death and the devil. They had come to worship just because the commandment said to remember the Sabbath day. They had come to worship to do what they thought God wanted done. What they didn't realize was that God had done all that he wanted done. God had set them free. As we look at the children of Israel and see this warning, there is a warning for us that our worship doesn't just become something that we feel we have to do, or that we worship out of a mindless, unthinking routine. We know that our sinful nature tries to distract us all the time, and certainly Satan tries to diminish our joy and our worship. We are distracted by the cares of this world, thinking ahead of things that we might need to do. And as we go through our forms of liturgy, sometimes we pray the Lord's Prayer without much thought. And so the Lord says to us, "Remember to come with reverence and awe." He warned the scribes and the Pharisees in the New Testament, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men," in Matthew 15. We are to come near to worship God, not only with our bodies, not only with our lips, but especially with our hearts. We are to come before God with hearts prepared to give him our best, to give him our undivided attention. Only you know that about yourself. Only I know that about myself. And of course, God knows our hearts, our motives, and intentions. The Lord knows when we come before him with our very best. The Lord knows us inside and out, and the Lord cannot be deceived. The Lord knows if we come to worship only one day of the week, or if it becomes a way of life for us, each one of us. Thankfully, as Christians, we have some really great news to share. The news is that God has known our sinful state and determined before all eternity to send his Son, Jesus, to be our Savior. He answered our need for forgiveness even before we knew to ask. As Christ poured out his blood on Good Friday, he paid the penalty for our sin. He washed you and me clean and pure. Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law of love, and he would lead us to repentance. His cross is the guarantee that the Lord will answer when we call upon him in faith. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. We have freedom now to walk in the New Testament times in the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the law of Christian love. This law of Christian love is not the law of the Old Testament, not the law of sin and death that says you must do this or you must not do that. It is the law of Christian freedom, where we want to do, we want to worship, we want to share, we want to serve because of all that Christ has done for us. So it is that we gather together on Sundays and special days to worship God, but not only on just one day. Hopefully for us, it will become a way of life every day. Our text reminds us that living is really an act of worship. It cannot be put into just one day of worship and the rest of the days are for living according to the world. The yoke, the burden of the law has been taken off. Isaiah describes true fasting in verse 7. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? He gives this list that are really acts of worship. Now, we might call them acts of Christian love, and they are, but they are also acts of worship. The Lord gives us himself to provide us eternal life. The Lord gives us himself to provide us an example of how we might show our acts of worship in this sinful world. Because of God's faithfulness and mercy, we are able to show God's mercies to our family. We are able to show God's mercies to those around us. We are able to worship God day in and day out as a way of life. The Lord tells us how we can do that. He says in Galatians 6, verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. He talks about the law of Christ, the law of Christian love. Our acts of worship are doing just as Isaiah encouraged the believers back then, to help the poor, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to take care of our families. We might not look at them as acts of worship, like when we sit down to specifically praise God, but they are acts of worship. The worship way of life is when we live to care for others because God has cared so much for us. In that way, we worship God with reverence and awe. Now, Isaiah had to try to change the thinking of the people when they thought that the Sabbath day was only to be one day of worship along with one time to fast. He wanted them to remember that every day is a day of worship. Our Lord wants us to remember that as well. We certainly feel that Sunday is a special day, but every day is a special day. Every day we can praise God. Every day we can call on the Lord, and he says, here am I. Every day we can worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Our worship is more than just one day. Worship is a way of life, so that, as Jesus says, people will see God's glory. As recorded in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus doesn't say that people will see your deeds or my deeds and then praise us or praise our good deeds, but he says that they will praise our Father in heaven. As we worship God, not just on Sunday, but every day, our prayer is that many people will praise and worship our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Help us, dear Lord, to express our love for you by serving and sharing with our neighbors and family in need. Amen. We'll now receive the offering. It's time for prayer, and I'd ask you to take out your hymnals. Eugene, how long were your parents married? How many years? 73 years. It's a privilege of mine to be able to visit with people that are older than me. And two of those people that have been a great blessing to me are Edwin and Irma Wiedebusch. And it has been a practice in their marriage for 73 years that they would pray in a certain way every day. And I think there probably are some other of our elder saints that have done the same. Carl and Verda, perhaps, did the same. But we will start our prayers, and I'm not going to pray for you. We're going to pray together. And if you would turn to Psalm 23 in the front of the hymnal. It's not a page number, so you have to just look for the psalms as they are enumerated there. And Psalm 23. And we will simply read Psalm 23 in its entirety as it is written there as the first part of our prayer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And now if you would turn to page 266 in your hymnal, and we will pray together Luther's evening prayer. Page 266. And I ask if you are able to stand. Page 266, the evening prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. And now our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. And now, as printed in your order of worship, the Isaiah reading from Isaiah chapter 53. This is a prophecy that was written almost 800 years before Christ was born, by the prophet Isaiah. And it has been mightily used by God to lead a lot of Jewish people to Christ, because only Jesus Christ fulfills all the points of this prophecy as written in Isaiah. And in that way, many have been led to recognize Christ as the Messiah, God's Son and our Savior. So let us read this responsively as it is written. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief. as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us our peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. So they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him. He was put him to grief. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the people, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and remain with us all. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 702, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, Jesus. All about Jesus. It's been said that, by some people, that Lutherans sing hymns from old dead guys. Long time ago. Well, we did sing some of those hymns tonight, but the worship song that we sang as part of the sermon, those guys are still alive. The guy that wrote the music and the guy that wrote the words. And a week or two ago, we actually sang a real praise song because it had 7 words and we repeated them 14 times. And, you know, it's 7 and 11, usually that's a praise and worship song. So the choir sang that. So this Lutheran church has, you know, a heritage, but we're also right up here, you know, in the present time, worshiping God and praising Him. And we can do it on one day or 2 or 7. And 7 is actually more delightful and more joyful to live life worshiping each day. So let's go to do that this week.